Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's on the radio.
And we're online every Wednesday evening, a new episode.
Whoa.
So we talk about video games.
On this show?
We do, on this particular show.
Amazing.
I'm Megan.
I'm Alice.
And sometimes we even play video games.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rarity, but yeah, it happens.
No, I played a whole game.
Good for you.
One whole game.
And actually, I've been busy this weekend. I managed to play and finish 4.
Yeah.
That never happens.
Well, okay, how long were some of those games?
Not long, but they were still finished and I still count them.
Yeah, one game was like, what, 15 minutes, maybe?
26 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. It still counts.
Okay, tell us about the very short game you played.
So, I ended up checking out Bon Bon because you had recommended it to me.
I don't know if I recommended to it. I just knew it was a horror game. And I was like, Megan, this is a horror game. And you have it. Check it out. So,
Bon Bon by Aetheric Games is a very short...
Horror? Psychological thriller?
It takes place in the UK in the 80s.
Okay.
And you are a toddler who sees everything from a toddler point of view. And your mother, your mummy, has asked you to put away your toys.
Yeah.
And you're being assisted by Bon Bon.
The giant Dumbo rat. Like 8 feet tall. The lady from Resident Evil 8.
This is the precursor. This is what she's based off of, is this champagne Dumbo rat.
This giant rat. There's things, like, it's fine. Like, I don't know why your voice is like a garbled computer voice.
Yeah, you get to say hello to each of your toys, pick them up, flip them around, and throw them, if you so choose to do so.
Yeah, and when you can say, like, hello, wobbly dog, but it's like a... very scary computer voice.
Yeah.
And I wish they explained that or had some reasoning behind it, because it's a neat mechanic, but ultimately I don't know why they did that.
I think it's to give... like, a toddler doesn't know necessarily what they're saying.
But they could be babbling then.
Yeah.
The thing is, if your mom also made, like, computer noise, sure.
Yeah.
But your mom talks... there's no voice distortion. So that was just a weird part.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get it. It's fine. Like, I think what the best part is, like, the visuals are really solid. Like, it looks like an 80s home, and the toys are oldie, like, you know, 80s type toys.
Yeah, Fisher Price type.
Yeah, esque. Yeah, like, there's a glowworm esque. Thing, right?
Wobbly dog,
which is like a dog on a string with wheels. The ring, right?
Yeah.
The classic ring game.
I would have loved to have gotten more of this game. It's incredibly short.
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, sure. Yeah, short to the point where it's like one of those where you're like, oh, it's ending now? Oh.
Oh, there's no
I didn't. Oh, I didn't realize it was ending. It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It's, I'd like to see what else the studio has or can come up with if a longer game of this vein, because this would have been a really scary game.
It would be cool if it continued. Like, if this was almost like the demo for Bon Bon.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. But if this was a demo and then they continued the story or made it more elaborate or something, because I think there's something there. And I like what they have so far, but it's like, it feels like it's unfinished, right?
Yeah.
It feels like we're missing a chapter or something.
Or a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also ended up playing Night of the Consumers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you didn't beat this game.
I didn't beat this game, but mostly because I don't think I can beat this game.
You can with Perseverance, but it's like, why would you want to... It's a stressful game. Night of the Consumers is like... it's a game where you have to stock a supermarket, right? And then people come and bug you. And if you don't serve them or take them to the place they want in time, you will get fired. And it's creepy.
It's very creepy. This is by Germ Food Studio.
It's cute. Like, I think visually it looks great. Like, it's kind of these terrible, crunchy PlayStation graphics with, like, the image sort of stretched over the model. And I like how it looks. It serves the purpose, right?
And the audio is pretty amazing, too. It's
enjoyable. It's great because it's terrifying, but also enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like, the boring supermarket music that you hear in the halls. And it's just sort of like, yeah, da, 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 da. It's not, I don't remember what it is, but it's peaceful.
So this starts off with you picking up boxes and moving to your designated shelves to stock up the shelves without getting caught by the customers who will sneak up behind you and demand the weirdest things. One person leaves you with her baby demands that you find her baby.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because usually your baby's like a literal aisle over and is also screaming. So you could hear the baby. But, yeah.
It's quite ridiculous.
It's sort of like it's shorter, but it's also one of those games where there's, like, neat little, I don't want to say Easter eggs, but neat little things about it. Like, some of the items you stock have different things written on them that are sort of that hint that this is not a good place to work.
Little warnings on the ketchup bottles.
Yeah, and soda pop and stuff. And it's very cute. It's creepy, but it's, yeah, the polygons. It's visually very, I like how it looks. I would also like a different game from them. Like, I would like to see what else they could do. Not necessarily, maybe it doesn't have to be horror. I think horror would be good, but not maybe as fast paced as this game.
Yeah.
Because this game is stressful. Like, not only
it
is
hits
retail,
a little too close to
right,
home.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, it's retail. And then also, it's like, oh, it's a video game where I am very detrimented for not doing my retail job. Oh, boy.
And if I don't do it fast enough, someone's going to yell at me and I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah. But yeah, so you played that one. And that one's pretty, I like it visually a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So another game we've been keeping an eye on, and finally I got to play, is Faith by Erdorf. So we've been following this game for a while. There is a second chapter out, and they are...
There's a third one. The demo of a third one.
Demo of the third one. It isn't out yet. I'm going to check out the second chapter, I think, later on this week.
Yeah, so Faith is like an MS-DOS kind of like game.
In Atari style.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Like, I think... It's beautiful because it's terrifying, but there's three colors on the screen. Well, maybe like four, we'll say.
Yeah.
And then you're a tiny blob of a pixel man kind of thing.
With like, only a white square to...
indicate that you're a priest, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of visually brilliant. And then they do these really good, like, rotoscoped... creepy moments, right?
So, when you hit a game over state, you do deal with some really creepy rotoscoping, like you said.
Yeah.
It's just so disconcerting to see it after playing this Atari-style game.
Yeah, once again, where things, basically your trees are, like, made of pixels. Like, it's just very rudimentary, I think, is probably a... And what the best part is, I think... The noises
are quite terrifying because they are computer-generated voices.
Yeah.
Which was...
Beautiful.
Yeah, so this is actually based in the 80s as well, 1987.
The
80s. It takes place during the Satanic Scare of the 80s in Connecticut, USA.
Well, that makes sense.
It was a big deal back then. We got a lot of weird media...
based out of it, yeah.
Yeah,
you
so Exorcist.
Things backwards, and then, you know, that's the devil calling you. Exactly.
So the whole basis of that is you are a priest who is coming back a year after a failed mission to finish the business that you couldn't take care of a year before. I don't want to take too much.
Yeah, but obviously Exorcism. Like, if you get that this is a horror game with a priest in it, I feel we could put the pieces together. The best part is when you die, it says Mortis, but it says it in that great, like, computer
Mortis.
Voice. It's beautiful. There isn't a lot of talking, but that, like, I guess the noises that, like, creatures make are just not, they're creepy.
Yeah, so.
I don't like them, but they're great. Like, that's, I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like to hear the little things shuffling around.
Like, this is a beautifully executed but very simple game. It yeah. is very cool, which is why I want to check out Chapters 2 and 3, but I'm not playing them alone. No. I'm going to make sure I got people with me.
Yeah, Faith, and if you're interested, the first game is free. You can also pay, like, it's a pay what you want as well. I think if you spend $2, you get the deluxe edition, right?
Right, and then it's the second chapter isn't even all that expensive either. It's, like, sitting at another dollar.
Yeah.
They're
really cool games. I think they're like they are worth money. Like some, you know, sometimes you pay like $70 for a game and you're like, oh, but well, this is like this is at least worth like if they actually charged a decent amount, like $20, 15 to 20 would be a decent amount for like the Faith, even the series. But I would say maybe you could charge more. But
so, I think later on I'm gonna get decent. Chapter 2. Yeah,
yeah, no, like they're. I love them because they're so, like, technologically, they feel very low quality in a way, but they're so high quality.
Yes.
Like, in low quality, I guess I mean, like, you know, they look like, yeah, Atari games. They look like games where you would use a terrible little joystick in a one button sort of situation.
Which is pretty much what you do, is you can walk around and you can exercise things.
Yeah, there's... it's great. Yeah, you view a little cross. But yeah, and then there's a story as well. And yeah, it continues. It's one that, yeah, we've been following for a while just because it's interesting. I'm glad I got to play it. It's great. Yeah.
And last week, I promised that I would play and finish this game.
And you did.
I did. So
this is a horror streak. We like to make Megan play horror games because I can't play them.
I'm actually getting used to them. They aren't nearly as scary as they used to be.
Okay, Five Nights at Freddy's next.
We're not playing Five Nights at Freddy's because that's too...
That's so bad.
That's not a jump scare situation. That's more of a high stress, this isn't fun situation anymore.
It's just pulling buttons.
Yeah. So Devotion, also by Red Candle Games, is a Taiwanese psychological horror game.
Yeah.
It was removed from Steam due to review bombings by Chinese players due to controversial reference to Xi Jinping, the then General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. So it had been unavailable for people to play for a while.
Yeah, for those in the know, it's because there was some reference to him looking like Winnie the Pooh. If you don't know, Winnie the Pooh is banned there because he can't handle a joke, or I don't know. Winnie the Pooh is honestly a character that I would not mind be compared to. Like,
it's so benign.
A nice character.
Yeah.
Someone who shares and cares for others. But anyway. No one wants to be associated with that, right?
Yeah.
Regardless, this game is very cool because it's like a bunch of mixed media, I feel.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different things going on in this game. It's in... First and foremost, it is a first-person psychological horror.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes you into a small platformer at points. There are some puzzle stuff happening. And the story is really, really interesting.
Yeah, there's also, like, live-action scenes.
There are live-action scenes like that are just...
There's video being played, not consistently, but quite a bit of live-action performances and stuff that's... part of the story, right?
So not only have we been following a horror theme this show so far, we're also following a theme where everything's taking place in the 80s.
And we the 80s are the scariest time zone, apparently.
Anytime before time the internet zone, was
in place. Yeah, before the internet happened and we could Google, is there a ghost in my house? No.
No.
Cool.
You had to rely on the different media that you had, movies. The
phone book.
Yeah. Local folklore.
Newspaper. Yeah.
So this relies very heavily on Taiwanese folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to spoil too much of this either.
Well, we can just... So it's about a family. A father who... I think he's basically a failed screenwriter, scriptwriter.
Now, in the current time, he is. But he had been very well known before.
He had... Sort of. I think there was sort of like... He was okay. And then... He married his wife, who was a famous actress.
Right.
And that, it sounded like it didn't help her career by marrying him.
But she was happy enough to step away from her career until things started to go awry. Yeah.
And so they also have a daughter who, They are, and I don't know how much, but she was forced into it, but she is also, like, in singing competitions and things, and I don't want to say they're going to make her an actress, or they were trying to, but they were doing stuff.
Yeah, they were trying to make her successful in the similar field of her parents.
Yes, yes. So, you know, everybody has a talent sort of thing.
Right. So, once things start to crumble...
Yeah.
As the story goes along, you find like this. At first, it seems very ideal, and then things start getting creepy. And again, I don't want to give too much of this game away because it is fun and it is interesting.
I think one thing that maybe failed it was there's maybe too much of a different style that dissociates from the ultimate story.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really appreciate the different styles. And because once again, this game has like a section where you're reading a storybook and it's a 2D platformer, which is kind of more similar to Detention, which was their previous game.
Right.
And it's just very cool. Like it's sort of unexpected because you're mostly in this realistic 3D environment, right? From a first-person perspective.
It was a nice little breather episode.
Well, yeah, especially because most of it's in the dark with scary red lights. Like, it's a dark game. It sort of also spans, like, a couple years, right? At, like, 1980 to 1986. Yeah. And you sort of get to traverse between four different years, I believe.
You have, like, the flawless present, which is where you start off, and then you have to go back between 1980 and 86 to piece together what's been going on in this flawless present.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sort of, I guess, a mystery, but ultimately it's a horror. There's not that much, like, danger. I think at one section there sort of is, but, yeah, ultimately I think it was really cool.
I think the big draw and the thing that I ended up reading about after this, as I wanted to find out more of the folklore, was the story of hungry ghosts.
Yeah.
Because that's what they seem to play a lot with in their games, Detention and Devotion.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. There's an interest in that, and I could see that, like, culturally as well. But yeah, those games, very interesting.
Now, you had said that you had played a game.
Yeah, you weren't there.
I wasn't there, but please tell me about this game that I wasn't there for.
I played Lost Ember, which is a 3D game where you are a wolf.
Aww.
Yeah, okay. Like, there are things about this that are great. There are things about this that I feel I've played this game a million times before.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I've played... This really reminded me of Air, and I like A-E-R, and I can't tell you if Air came out before this. This came out in 2019. Air maybe came out a year, but anyways, it also reminded me of Sky, Children of Light.
Right.
It also reminded me of Journey.
Right, okay.
These
are not bad games.
No, but I think ultimately, like, something like, every game kind of like this wants to be Journey. And I get that. I get it. Like, Journey was a fantastic game and still is a fantastic game. Like, and hits a lot of emotional points and does it with, like, no speaking.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a testament to a lot of things. So this game has voices. Basically, you start off as this wolf and you meet this little glowing ball. And this glowing ball kind of sounds like Wheatley, but he's not fun. Like,
oh, no.
No, he just... and it has sort of been like, this wolf must have died, and we have to get you to this thing called the City of Light, where souls go,
okay. I guess.
So you're going to help this lost... You're going with this Ember because he's going to take you to the City of Light. I think one of the weakest parts in this game is the story.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. Which, obviously, like, is a little bit of the driving force between, like, for this. Because, obviously, your character is somehow connected to this. Like, I don't want to ultimately spoil the ending, because I'll leave it up to you. but I thought the ending was not good.
Looking at Rhyme?
I actually think Rhyme's ending, at least, this ending was a nothing ending. Rhyme's ending, at least, was, it was there for a reason, at least. Like, despite, even though it was, like, to make you feel bad. This just felt like the whole story was irrelevant, sort of thing. Like, it deals with, like, okay, well, I'll just, here's the spoiler here. So, spoiler warning, if you want to play Lost Emperor, I don't necessarily recommend it. I think if you like this kind of game, maybe. There are things that I liked about it. You can turn into a wombat and roll around.
Excellent.
That's nice. There's capybaras. So you, yeah. But the capybaras are the most useless creature you can turn into.
Oh, no.
They're less useful than the... There's fairy armadillos. Do you know what I'm talking about? Fairy moles? Fairy moles? The ones... Anyway, they look like kind of have an armadillo. Anyway.
Fairy armadillo. Yeah. They're pink and they're armadillo-y. Yes,
and they dig. Anyway, so you can turn one of those. Several different kinds of birds. Hummingbird. I'm trying to... Oh, buffalo at one point. You can turn into a buffalo. Turn into an elephant. The thing is that some of these, like, that you turn into them once. Some of them you use multiple times. Like I said, the wombat I use quite a bit because you can roll around.
Right.
Birds, because you can fly around, and it's way easier to do everything flying.
Right.
Things that weren't great about this game is, like, visually there's weird things, like, just, like, little clipping errors, especially in things like cutscenes, which I feel that... You know, like, I can forgive in the game, but cutscenes are a little different where I feel like you should have them, like, up to snuff sort of thing. There is also, like, the wolf has, like, the worst fall distance. Like, it's, like, 4 feet off the ground, and it will reset me. Like, you can't jump from anything.
I'm pretty sure wolves can land just fine from 4 feet.
Yeah, and
I'm
the
pretty
thing
sure
is,
they can land from even higher than that in real life.
The thing is also that this game encourages exploration, and I feel like there's games like there are good games which do encourage exploration, but also reward you for that exploration. This game hardly rewarded me ever for exploration, which is why I felt it wasn't necessary to explore at certain point. Like, after a while, I was like, there's no point because I'm going to look over here and it's going to be, like, in the one place that leads me to it. Like, I felt a lot of it was... there was no reason for me to spend more time in it, sort of thing.
Huh.
Yeah, so, okay, here's now for real, here's the spoiler ending. You were the wolf, you're the daughter of the little spark, the ember guy.
Okay.
Who is your dad who killed you?
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And then at the end, you take him to the City of Light and let him go to the City of Light, and it's all happy. Yeah, right?
But why?
I don't know. There's a lot in this game that I didn't... Like, once again, that story wasn't great. There's also, like, lesbian death for whatever reason. You know, it just felt like one of those things where you check off points of things. Like, oh, yeah, we got representation. Yeah, we're going to burn her wife in the fire. It just feels like your character... there was a lot of weird flip-flop. Like, at one point, the little Lost Ember is mad at you because you started the rebellion. But then at one point, you find out that the spark is your dad who killed you.
He deserves all the rebellion.
I know. And then at the end, yeah, you, I guess, resolve. The thing is, the spark talks, but the wolf never talks. So there's, like, little agency to do with your character, and it's mostly about the spark, right? The ember, the lost ember. And that's why, ultimately, like, I didn't really enjoy this game as much as I hoped I would.
Would you rather play the game or are we going exercise ghosts in Atari style?
Yeah, like, I think, to be honest, there's a lot more valuable about faith, and faith is, like, once you can get it for free. This game is at least $20 or more.
Oh, no.
And it's just, like, it's fine. I think there are absolutely valid and good things about this game, but I think that, like, this story was just terrible. Like, it just, there was really cool things about the story, but then, like, I'm gonna, like, the world building. I'll say there's cool things about the world building, but the story that they built was not good.
Lackluster.
Well, it was just, like, yeah. It just ended, and I was like, oh, it's over now. Well, I forgave everybody. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, it was fine. It was fun for what it was, but otherwise, I liked rolling around as a wombat. I liked flying around as a bird when I could fly around as a proper bird. Because there's one, they make maybe ducks, and the ducks can only drift. They can't fly higher.
Oh, yeah. No.
They make you be ducks for a while, but it's fine. I figured it out.
All right. I think that's everything we got for you for today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it off with the ending song of Devotion.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. Chinese rock song.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Keep changing.
Bye.
Tan shy的笑着我的